أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. الحمد لله، الحمد لله لمن تفرد بالعظمة والكبرياء حمدا متواصلا، لمن بيده مقادير كل شيء. الحمد لله على الإيمان، والحمد لله على الإسلام، والحمد لله على القرآن، والحمد لله على كل حال. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اصطفاه على خلقه بأكرم رسالة. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وأمنوا برسوله يؤتكم كفلين من رحمته، ويجعل لكم نورا تمشون به ويغفر لكم والله غفور رحيم. Dear brothers and sisters, as we all know, we are now well within the first week of Sha'ban, and Ramadan is approaching very, very quickly. Just wanted to discuss a little bit with you what happens in Ramadan, and it's something that we notice year in and year out, and especially when you get on a bit with the number of years, you can see it happening over and over. Beginning of Ramadan, first day, usually the mosque is full. 10-15 rows, mashallah. By the third day, it's about 5 or 6 rows. By the 10th day, maybe it's 1 row. By the 12th day, it's 5 or 6 people. So what happens there? Why do a lot of Muslims tend to run out of steam very quickly in Ramadan? Same thing, we find that by the time Ramadan is over, when it's the Eid prayers, everybody goes to the Eid prayers, but a lot of people haven't even been up to pray the Fajr, to pray the morning prayer, which is Fard, whereas the Eid prayer is the Sunnah. And usually we find a lot of people quite exhausted. Same thing, we find a lot of people starting in Ramadan reading a lot of Quran, and then by the 5th or 6th day, by the first week, the amount they are reading gets less and less and less. So it's something that needs to be looked at. What happens? Now, we all know that Ramadan is an opportunity that comes every year, where we can have all sins forgiven. And it is so easy to do that. And Allah gives the Muslims this as a great gift every year. Yet many Muslims fail to make use of Ramadan. Many Muslims fail Ramadan. Many Muslims fail before Ramadan. And many Muslims fail after Ramadan. Because we know that one of the signs that our fasting and qiyam in Ramadan has been accepted is if you notice a permanent change in yourself after Ramadan. And I speak for myself, and I'm sure for many of us, quite often Ramadan passes and within a week I feel that I'm back to where I were before Ramadan, which means simply that I did not pass the test of Ramadan. Because if I did pass the test of Ramadan, then I should notice a permanent change, not just a change for a few days. So I think it's important that we take heed. It's important that we think about that carefully and find out why is it that a lot of us fail to make use of the month of Ramadan. And I think that what happens is quite often there's an overloading of the body with physical acts, while the heart is not ready for these physical acts. So all of a sudden, somebody who might not be even keeping time of his prayers throughout the year, might not be praying the morning prayer in its time, might even be not doing any reading of Quran throughout the year, and all of a sudden Ramadan comes, the first day, fasting all day, not used to fasting because he doesn't fast or she doesn't fast throughout the year, not reading any Quran, and all of a sudden expecting to read 1, 2, or 3 juz, and of course they run out of steam very quickly. The body is willing, but the heart cannot take this sudden overload. It's exactly like somebody who wants to run a marathon. You can't just decide, I'm going to run a marathon next week. Unless you prepare for the marathon, unless you build up your physical fitness, you would not be able to run a marathon. You will either injure yourself or you're going to get tired and you're going to pull out of the marathon. And that's exactly what happens to a lot of us in Ramadan. So what do we need to do? We need to prepare the hearts, because ibadat is an action of the heart. It's true, there's a physical aspect to it, but unless the heart is present, we run very quickly out of steam. And also, it's exactly like sleep debt. If you don't sleep enough for 5, 6, 7 days, one day will come where you feel exhausted, then you go to sleep and you sleep for 15, 16 hours to catch up with your sleep. It's the same thing with ibadat in Ramadan. If your heart is not prepared, if you don't prepare your heart properly, you go into Ramadan doing all the extra things, doing your taraweeh, doing your Quran, doing your prayers, doing all these things. Within a few days, you're going to run out of steam. And then we hear this common complaint. You know what? I'm fasting, I'm doing my taraweeh. But when I'm standing for taraweeh prayer, my mind is wandering everywhere. I'm not even concentrating on my prayer. Which happens to a lot of us. And it's simply because we have not prepared. We have not got the hearts ready for this great month of Ramadan. Let's just take an example. We are in Sha'ban now. We all know, I'm sure, that Sha'ban is the month where our deeds for the year is written and presented to Allah. How many of us have taken heed of that? How many of us have made use of that? I'm sorry to say a lot of Muslims don't even recognize that or don't even do anything about it. And a lot of Muslims will go through the month of Ramadan without even making use of it. And who knows if they're going to have another Ramadan. It's an opportunity. If you don't use it, you might not get another one. It's an opportunity to get out of it by the end of it, completely all sins forgiven. All sins forgiven. It's an opportunity to elevate yourself to the next level. This is what we all know about, and this is what we must be prepared for. So we must start working now. As a matter of fact, we should have started working a week or two ago, but anyhow, it's not too late. We still got about 3 weeks to work on that. So let me just explain to you what I want to, you know, the point I'm trying to make here. Especially with the modern life, everybody's preoccupied, either with his studies, exams, when is the next exam coming, when is the next degree, my job, am I going to get a job, how much money am I earning, how is my business doing, do I need a new car, what are the kids doing if you've got kids. All what's happening in life fills up our hearts. Our hearts are full of what's happening around us in life, especially with modern life, with the quick pace that we live through. Which is okay, there's nothing wrong with that. However, if we don't just stop for a minute, take a step back and think, we need to make space in this heart. We need to make a space in our heart for what is coming. We will not be able to benefit from the month of Ramadan. As I said, the hearts are all full with worldly things, which is fine, you know, careers, work, money, children, which is nothing wrong with that. But we mustn't allow it to fill the heart completely. We need to make a little space there. Other things which might be in the heart that will stop us from being able to benefit from Ramadan if our hearts are full with the wrong things. Envy, hatred, looking at others, you know, what do other people do, even if it's not in an envious way, still looking at other people. You know, my next door neighbor bought a new car. My next door neighbor has made a nice extension. I don't have one. I'm looking at him. And Allah tells us about that. He says in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضُكُمْ لَبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. People are fitna to other people. So we need to look inwards. And I like the word that last week was mentioned in the khutbah. Internalization of your ibadah. Look inside you. Look a bit, little bit inside you. See what's going through your heart. What's your heart full of? Heart full of dunya? Fine, but make space. Heart full of any diseases? Not fine. You must clear it before Ramadan starts. Hatred, envy must not be there. And that's why the Prophet and the Sahaba always used to say a dua that the Prophet taught them, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. O Allah, give us barakah in Rajab and Sha'ban, the 2 months before Ramadan, and allow us to get to Ramadan. What does this barakah mean? It means exactly what I'm talking about here. give us a chance to organize our thoughts. Give us a chance to make some space in our hearts. Give us a chance to be ready for Ramadan to make maximum use of it. Now, as I said, all the deeds of the year are brought in front of Allah during the month of Sha'ban, which we are in now. And it is said that, especially in the middle of Sha'ban, it's a controversial issue, but it is throughout the month of Sha'ban anyway, which we are in now. So let's take heed of that. Now, if we fail in preparing during the month of Sha'ban, fine. We've got a second sitting, which is Ramadan. Ramadan is the final chance to redeem ourselves. I'm sure that all of us, beginning with myself, we are full of sins. We've done so many sins throughout the year, because all human beings are sinful. So we've done a lot of sins throughout the year. And here's a chance. Coming up in 3 weeks is a chance to redeem all sins. All sins. No exemptions. There are 4 exemptions. Actually, I'll tell you about them, which will not be forgiven in Ramadan, but everything else is open to be forgiven. So we've got this big chance. If you're going to be running a marathon, you would be training now for your marathon. We have got the biggest marathon of the year. And it might be the biggest one of the life if Allah decides that any of us are not going to be living till next Ramadan. So we must start preparing now. Now remember that Ramadan, we know that أَوَّلَهُ رَحْمَةُ وَأَوْسَطَهُ مَغْفِرَةُ وَآخِرُهُ عَتْقٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. The beginning of Ramadan is mercy. The first 10 days are full of mercy. The middle 10 days of Ramadan are forgiveness. And the last 10 days are for redemption from hellfire forever. So we need to put ourselves into this mind frame. We've got 30 days, or maybe less, 1 or 2 days. What are we going to do with these 30 days? How are we going to end up at the end of Ramadan? So Ramadan is really an easy way for forgiveness. Allah has made it so easy, so simple. There's nothing complicated. Nothing complicated at all. It is a very, very easy way to get complete redemption of sins. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, مَنْ أَدْرَكْ رَمَضَانْ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ فَأَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever has got to Ramadan while he's alive, or she's alive, and has not been forgiven all his sins, then may Allah keep him away. That's it. It's a failure. If you don't pass this, you won't pass anything else. Because that's the easiest chance. It's the easiest chance that comes to have all sins forgiven. Does not require traveling, does not require hajj, does not require expenses. All what you need to do is just do your fasting and then do your qiyam. Because fasting is not the main aim of Ramadan. We fast during the day in preparation for prayer and qiyam at night. So we have to start training for this. We have to start preparing for this. It is the simplest, easiest way. If you think about it, just 30 days, by the end of which you are born again. Sinless. Complete. No sins. But it's got to be made use of. And that's why the Prophet, as I said, if you don't make use of it, then I'm sorry. That's according to the Prophet's word, you're a loser. That's it. You don't stand a chance. If you don't make it now during Ramadan, you don't stand a chance. Now, unfortunately, despite all these meanings, and despite all of us knowing these meanings, most Muslims fail Ramadan. Most Muslims do not end up at the end of Ramadan having made use of it. Most Muslims finish Ramadan and they've not been forgiven. And Allah tells us in the Quran, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. You will find that most people, speaking to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, most people are not going to be real believers. Most people are going to fail the test. Most. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. When you're reading the Quran, and we're going to do that during Ramadan, look at أَكْثَرُهُمْ أَكْثَرْ most. It's always about most people failing. Most people not real believers. Most people. Unfortunately, this is the case. Despite Allah making things so simple for us, most of us don't make use of it. So what's the solution to this problem? And the solution to this problem is two things. As they say, aqa'idiyya and ibadiyya. Aqa'idiyya is intellectual. an intellectual approach to it. So you just need to ponder and think for a while, and then ibadiyya, which is spiritual approach that concerns the heart. So let's just concentrate for a minute about this intellectual approach. Now, we are all preoccupied with life. Fast pace of life, modern life, we all want this, we all want that, we all want success, we all want careers, we all want money, we all want nice houses, we all want nice cars. Fine, nothing wrong with all these things. But if you think about it for a minute, who is the real giver? Who gives you health? Who gives you money? Who gives you risk? It's all from Allah. And among the two, the names of Allah is Al-Qabid, Al-Basit. Al-Qabid means the holder back, he holds back. Wal-Basit, who gives, right? So Allah holds back sometimes. So sometimes you find, look, I'm working hard, I'm doing everything right. I've studied very hard, but I was ill on the day of the exam and I failed. I worked very hard, but my business didn't thrive. I went bankrupt. Yes, it is from Allah, and for a good reason. Al-Qabid. And other times you look at somebody and say, look at this fool. He's corrupt, he's not intelligent, he doesn't know what he's doing, and yet he's earning so much money and he's got such a big house and a nice car. Yes, Al-Basit. You need to look beyond. Who is Al-Qabid? Who gives? Who really gives? And who really holds back? It's Allah. So if we think about that, we will be able to go into our hearts and dig deep. Hang on, 24 hours a day I'm preoccupied with my career, my money, my business. No, I want to make some space. Because no matter how much I think, no matter how clever I think I am, no matter how much I think I am doing it, I'm not doing anything. It's actually Allah who's doing it. So I can make space. Fine, think about your career, about your life, about your exam. But make space to think about Allah. Make space to prepare your heart for Ramadan. That's the intellectual part of it. When it comes to the spiritual approach, it comes to the heart. So as I said, whatever happens in life around us, we need to recognize that it is from Allah. And Allah tells us in the Quran, وَجْعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لَبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. We have made each of you like a test to the other one. Are you going to be able to withstand the test? So think about everything that happens as a test. Right? So, if you, as I said, if your business is not doing well, it's a test. If it's doing well, it's a test. If somebody is being nasty to you, somebody keeps insulting you, keeps harming you, it's a test. If somebody is malicious, it's a test. Think about, try to see beyond people. Try to see beyond what happens. Try to see the real doer. And this is how you can get your heart to wake up and see, appreciate really what's happening around us. Now, if we look at the prophets, because now I'm going to talk about the spiritual bit, which is a bit difficult to talk about because it's not something that can be explained. It is something that has to be felt and tasted, as they say. Prophet Ibrahim told Allah, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mauta. God, show me how do you bring the dead back to life. Qala awalam tu'min. Did you not believe? He said, no, I believe. Prophet Ibrahim, he's a prophet, he believes. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. But I want my heart to taste the real feeling of belief. And then we all know the story about the four birds that he cut into pieces and put them around to see how it is. The same thing, Prophet Moses said, رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. God, let me look at you, I want to see you. Prophet Moses believes. But what does he want to do? He wants to taste. He wants to taste this, the sense of belief. So this is a sort of thing that, as I said, it's something that you feel. It's a feeling. It can't be described in words. It's something that you can feel and taste. And believe me, you will feel it and taste it if you make the effort to try and clear your heart a bit of the world. So this is how it is, the answer. As I said, if you want an intellectual approach, you can think about it. And if you want a spiritual approach, you can do that by allowing yourself a chance to do it. Now, some of the practical aids, some people will say, hang on, look, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how to do that. I'll give you some practical aids, which are not always easy, but if you get a chance, do them. Now, if you get a chance to go to a hospital, visit people in intensive care, and think, this person was up and about, he was probably in a position of power, he was probably in control of tens of people, and within 1 minute he got a stroke or whatever, and now he's lying in bed, motionless. He has to breathe with a machine. Go to an intensive care unit and look at the people there, and this is going to help you wake up your heart. Another thing that you can do, attend a burial. When there is a janazah, go to the janazah and look what's happening there. People are actually burying their loved ones, putting them in the ground and covering them up with dust. That's all what's going to happen to all of us. So go there and think about it. That's going to help you clear your heart. Or as a matter of fact, do something that some of our brothers here do, and they're probably quite clever to know what they're doing, which is go and help with washing the body of a dead person. Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ مُعَالَجَ جَسَدٌ خَالِي فِيهِ مَوْعَظَةٌ بَلِيغَةٌ. When you are washing up a dead body, he describes it as being an empty body, there's a lot of things to learn from. So here are some practical aspects. If you can't get this feeling into your heart, fine, try these things. There are many other things that you can try. Another way is try to envisage what's going to happen to you. Now, nobody can deny that we will all die. Each and every one of us will die. So just take 5 minutes, close your eyes and imagine what's going to happen. I'm going to die, they're going to wash me, they're going to bury me. Or I might die in an accident, Allahu A'lam. Then what happens? I'm going to be in my grave. The two malaks, they're going to come, they're going to sit me up, they're going to ask me, Man Rabbuk wa ma dinak wa ma da kunta qul fi hadha. I'm going to be asked, right? And think about the whole thing, think about Yawm al-Qiyamah. When we're all standing in front of Allah, all naked, the sun's over the heads. Imagine these situations. And imagine, even worse, imagine those of us who think that we are Muslims and we're going to be successful. And we go to the hawd of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to drink. And the angels will hold them back. And the Prophet asks, hang on, these are from Ummati. Ummati, these are Muslims, these are from my people. And they say, no, you don't know what they've done after you passed away. Imagine if, wal'ayyadu billah, any of us is a part of this. On the day of judgment, you are very, very thirsty. You want to go to the house to have a drink, and the angels stop you. Try to live these meanings. Try to envisage these things. All these things are means to try and get the hearts to wake up and to try and make some space in the heart. And finally, the last thing that you can do is try to read about the Salihin. Try to read and get some more information about the Salihin, the people who have managed to pass the test. What did they do? How did they live? What were they doing in life? And try to copy them. Try to emulate them. And inshallah, hopefully, so these are just some of the aspects that we can use to try and wake up our hearts. If we don't wake up our hearts now, if we don't free some space in our hearts now, Ramadan is going to come, Ramadan is going to pass, and then we're going to think about it and we find that we failed the test. I hope this does not happen to any of us. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So Ramadan is in 3 weeks time. It is an opportunity, it's a chance. Whoever will make use of it will be a winner, whoever will not will be a loser. If you don't prepare for Ramadan properly from now, you will be a loser. You will not be able to pass the test. So, just very quickly again, a couple of practical things, a couple of practical steps that you can take now in preparation. As I said, try to prepare the heart. Now, remember, the Quran says, إِنَّ مِنْ أَوْلَادِكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجِكُمْ عَدُوٌ لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Amongst your kids and your wives or your spouses are enemies. Be careful of them. Does this mean that my wife or my husband is an enemy and my kids are enemy? No, this is not what is meant by this ayah. It means that the people surrounding you, the people around you, the people you live with, whether they are wives, kids, friends, if you're sharing flats with somebody, try to bring them aboard. Because if they are not there to help you, it's one of two things. Either you drag them into the right path, or they will drag you into the wrong path. So try to bring them aboard. Try to explain to your wife, try to explain to your husband, try to explain to your partner, try to explain to your kids what's it all about. Let them help you, and you help them to pass this Ramadan, inshallah, in a proper way. And you should start now. Start by having some sort of organization of your time. How are you going to organize your time in Ramadan? When are you going to go to work? When are you going to wake up at night for your prayer? Who is going to doing the prayer with you? Who is going to encourage you? Who are you going to encourage? So have a sort of an overall plan, so that Ramadan does not pass you by before you even realize that it's come and gone. Remember that Ramadan is only 30 days. There is Laylatul Qadr sometime in Ramadan, and there are other things in Ramadan that you have to make use of. So unless you plan for it now, and most important thing, unless you make space in your heart, unfortunately Ramadan will come and go, and we will not make use of it. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما واجعل تفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله